Now, believing and disbelieving is a process of ignorance. When you read those words, you will think, well, surely that's not true. But when you look into the matter, you will see how true it is. In Luke 18:16, it says, "No one lights a lamp and hides it under a vessel or puts it below the bed. He puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light." Do you live in hope or do you live in despair? When you see that these two imposters are the same, you will drop them. Is it not a fact that we live in hope for the future and at the same time would despair the future because of the past? In this state, we are not really living at all, because we make the future and the past more important than the present. I've often tried to show you the importance of the present, and that the past and the future are very often a hindrance to the expression of the presence in the present. You can only express in the present. You can't express in the past or the future. These are in the mind. And really, what is in the mind is dead. What is alive is the presence at this very moment, from moment to moment. That is the only living thing, and the only living creative thing is the presence that is always present. Then if you look into your mind, you will see that the past is in your mind, the future is in your mind, but they have no creativeness whatsoever. Both are very often a hindrance to the expression of the presence in this very present moment. The living presence is the only creative force. Therefore, the past and the future are not more important than the present. And if you recognize this truth, you will see the past is but a memory, the future is but a hope, both in the mind. We are not creative in any way whatsoever, and very often a hindrance to the expression of the presence now. Is it not a fact to most people the future is so extraordinarily important that they are willing to sacrifice the present for the future? That is what all ideologists, all the people who build utopias are doing. They are sacrificing the present, that is, they are willing to liquidate you and me for the future. So all political parties, all ideologists, dangle a hope in front of us, and when we pursue this hope, we are destroyed. Unless we can see the whole process of the desire for this security that is driving us to destruction, we will never know the truth of the living present. Unless we see this desire, unless we understand it, you're caught up in the hope, caught up in the belief, caught up in that which is dangled in front of you, thinking that this security is security when it is no security at all. The only security exists in the present, devoid of all past and future, a living presence that is only creative, and in that presence there is love, there is wisdom, and there is power. When we begin to see that there can be no security from the external, in the present or in the future, we will discover what reality is. But this cannot be realized by those who seek an end, for there is no end, but only a renewal from moment to moment. What do you do Don't you seek an end? A security with an end, or an end with security. But there can be none of these because there is no end. When you look for an end, you are living in an illusion. There is no security if you're looking for an end. But there is only security when you recognize that there is continual renewal, moment to moment, that is living. When we have come to this realization in continuity, moment to moment, we live. The past and the future are but memories and dreams of some fanciful state. Is the world not torn at present between systems, the left and the right? The world is broken up by beliefs, by ideas, by formulas. How can there be security in any of these fleeting and changeable things? Yet we are promised security by them. We quarrel over the system, which we think will give us more security. And so cultivate war, destruction, and misery. Do you call that security? What I am doing in this last lecture of this series is to make you wise towards all these so-called securities, all those so-called utopians, all those so-called groups who promise and dangle hope in front of you, which lead you to destruction. You are students now of the great universal science, the College of Universal Science, a science that is beyond the ordinary form of education. It is an education on its own, leading the mind into higher spheres of activity, so it will grasp that which is false, and thereby understand that which is true. If you depend on a system for security, there must be insecurity. Those who believe in utopias are only concerned with ideas and not with people. This breeds separation and destruction, which is actually taking place now. As long as we look for security through an ideal, through political or economic means, there must be separation and contention, which brings about further insecurity. And if you look back now during the last 25 years or more, you will see what has been happening. There is less security, we have more political parties, we have more ideas of new economic means of security. We see that we have more and more separation between the peoples of the world and groups in different countries and in the same country, and which has brought about more separation and contention, which brings about further insecurity. If you look then to what has happened, you can think now that the past and the future, no matter how you think about it, you're going to build your future on the past. And because you build your future on the past, you're building it upon an illusion and upon sand. You can only build now upon the present existing life, which is security, and is God, and is love, and is wisdom, and is truth, and is unity. We can never have security until there is unity between the peoples of the world. You can never have security in our own country unless there are unity between the different groups in that particular country. We will never have security of any kind throughout the world until such time as this unity is understood by our leaders, so that our leaders will give to those people who are less informed the truth about separation and how it comes about. But those who are leading us today are more ignorant about the conditions and the causes of our troubles than the majority of people in the groups are themselves. With the result that they do not think because they're lazy. They don't want to think, so they allow other people to do their thinking for them. That breeds trouble and insecurity. The world is now torn up into different nationalities, different beliefs, different ideologies, each promising security. Now there can never be unity through beliefs or ideas. This cannot bring people together. It has already been proven throughout the world that those who advocate these methods are immature in their understanding and should have no say in the communal affairs. If we can see the futility of ideas which create division, the idea of being a Christian, a Hindu, a Mohammedan, a nationalist, a communist, a socialist, a capitalist, a worker, an Afrikaner, a Britisher, an American, a Chinaman, a Russian, and God knows what else. These are all ideas in the mind of man. And each then perpetuates his own idea. With the result that he becomes antagonistic to the other. Naturally, you have then division. And when you have division, you have misery and destruction. As long as we do not see the fallacy of these divisions, we will continue in our ignorance and continue in our destruction. It is all right to say, I'm a Christian, you know, pray to God. And you say to yourself, you're a child of God. I am a child of God. Yes, but you are in prison, are you not? Because you have separated yourself from your brother. You must be in prison if there is separation. Therefore, what do you do when you say, are you a child of God? It's just an idea. Somebody else put the idea in your mind, and you say, yes, I believe that I'm a child of God. I must be, and so forth. And you take the idea into your mind, and you take it into your prison. It becomes an idea and nothing more. Why? Because you don't act like a child of God. You act like a damn fool. So the whole thing is clearly and distinct. But unless we see these divisions, these conditions, and how we have conditioned ourselves, we will never get rid of our misery. Never. It is these things that are separating us, and they are nothing but beliefs, ideas. And as long as we cling to beliefs, there will be separation, ill will, and chaos. So we cling to our beliefs and defend them with all our might against another belief, which we think is not in accord with our own. How can there be any solution to any human problem under these circumstances when each group is at war with the other? The means of war is not the means of peace. The means of political aggrandizement and separation is not the means of unity. You can never have unity in any way whatsoever when you have separation or an idea between one person and another being separated because of their nationality. It cannot exist, and it never will work in a human community. The fundamental principles underlying the human must be understood, and that is the one life that is common to us all. If we could see the self and its ways, we would see how false these things are. Then we would discover that something from moment to moment, which is not a belief, but a natural livingness which we have in common with everyone else. So we have, not in the past nor in the future, but living in the presence of that very present that is now. And the understanding of this, then we will know that we have a livingness which is in common with every other living being, no matter what nationality or what group he belongs to. That is the fundamental principle upon which humanity stands, and upon which the whole of humanity shall move along towards security. And the only security we have is that fundamental principle, where the whole is secure, where the individual then is secure in the wholeness of that wholeness. So that we find ourselves not separated, but one with that which is fundamental and which is the underlying principle, the livingness that is in common with every being that lives upon the earth. Is it not that we perpetuate the memories of the past to blind us to the ever-present life? So that we struggle with each other, and for what end? An end in chaos. This state of affairs will continue until man sees the falseness of his ways. When we wake up to the ways of the self, with its memories, its beliefs, its antagonisms, its fears, hope, and all the appalling distortions of the self, we become horrified. And not until we become horrified at the ways of the self will there ever be freedom and security. Unless you become horrified at the ways of the self, the cravings of the self, the desires of the self, there can never be freedom. And the more horrified you are, the ways of your own self, the sooner will that freedom come. You always blame the other individual, someone outside ourselves. We never see that it is within ourselves the trouble lies. If we allow the past to influence the present, then our future must be the past. So we will perpetuate our illusion to the destruction of ourselves. What are we doing now? We are trying to patch up the world upon the experiences and the dead wood of the past. How can a new world be born out of the dead bones of the past? Not until we see this new life, this life that is eternal, that will give security to the world in large, that our leaders will come to the realization of this truth, so that those who are ignorant of this truth shall be led into truth. Once we see the false, the true will appear to us. Then let us live from moment to moment, living each moment in the present. Otherwise we will flounder in dogma, creeds, and even a philosophy. We do not have to be created, We are one with the Creator, for we cannot be separated, for life is not divided. Is it not a fact that we live in the illusion of the senses? What we see, touch, and feel we think is real, yet it has no power of its own. How can anything having no power of its own have any reality in itself? All we see is the manifestation of the phenomena of thought, sound, waves. The cause is not seen, only the effect. So we take the effect to be a reality, and consequently we live in the illusion of the effect. We think then what we see and feel around us is real. Not understanding the cause, we're caught up in the illusion of the effect. So the world is the same. All the time we are trying to adjust our economic status throughout the world. Every few months or few weeks we have a crisis. This crisis comes and it passes, but sure enough there's another crisis round the corner. Are we going to carry on like this continuously with a crisis coming on every other month or so? There is no end to these crises. And one day it'll blow up in our faces like a delayed action bomb. The time is coming soon for the wisdom of great statesmen with an underlying knowledge of the principle of mankind and upon which only a human family can be built in security, not in division, not in separation. All your propaganda, all your great men today are talking a lot of silly nonsense. Whatever they express in word of mouth, it's put through the whole of the press throughout the world, thinking it's a masterpiece, when it's a lot of damn foolery. When we realize the truth about what I am telling you, strong words are needed so that will get into your mind. So you, as students of the greatest and most important thing in existence is life. The students of life will understand the fundamental principles upon which human family is built. It is from you then, and from about you, your kind, will come the time when the world is in chaos. For people to lead the world. And is it not so it is said, yes, and a babe shall lead them. That means one who is not known as a great man, but a babe shall lead them. When this is realized, we will see that the power is within ourselves. For where true realization and recognition exists, there also exists the cause. Truth is never created. It always was and is ever present. Substance, ether, is the foundation of all forms, visible and invisible. Substance has no power of its own, neither do we create substance. Yet consciousness, intelligence, substance is a trinity in form. That is the trinity in form. Behind all form and within form is the formless. The formless is the power. The form is the effect. Therefore, let me point this out to you most clearly. Consciousness, intelligence, and substance is the trinity in the form. That is the formless, and it is out of the formless all form is created. Yet form is the effect, and the formless is the cause. Consciousness is the directing power. It is the power existing behind everything. The intelligence is a knowing how. It is allied with consciousness just like Father, Mother, God. Consciousness is the Father, the Mother is the intelligence. The substance then is that perfect formless substance out of which everything is created. These three are the perfect trinity, consciousness, intelligence, substance, out of which all form is built. The formless is the power. The effect has no power whatsoever. That's why Jesus said, unless you're born again, this time of spirit, which means Father, Mother, God, and water, which to him was the name he gave to the substance, which was pliable, out of which every form was created. Unless you are born again of spirit and water, I shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. You shall not enter the kingdom of creativeness and security and understanding. Because if you live in the world of effects, thinking that the effects are real, you will lose the power of that formless cause that's behind all creation. Yet consciousness, intelligence, and substance is trinity and form. We create form and phenomena through our thought, sound waves. Therefore, when we believe in the false, we create chaos. When we believe in ideas, we create separation. Only when we know that we live from moment to moment, eternally, do we awaken to our stupidity of living in the past and in the future. In the presence then, and in the present, we live in the formless cause, consciousness, intelligence, and substance, out of which everything has been created. Therefore we know the creativeness that is within us. Without this understanding, you shall never be masters, because you have the potentiality of a master within yourselves. And this wisdom, this understanding, enables you to bring that mastership into operation. Consciousness, intelligence, and substance are perfect in themselves. When we are caught up in the false, we produce that which is false, and which must ultimately destroy itself, for only the true can live, because it is eternal and ever-present, never in enmity or in separation to another. We quarrel over our beliefs, our ideas, have murdered each other because of them, and we do not know whether they are true or not. We must discern these things that bind us, that make us murderers. No matter whether you really murder or not, if you condole this murder, you are just as much a murderer as the fellow who does the murdering. You must seek these things and search them in your mind to see how clear and concise this truth is. Those illusions, ideas, concepts are created by dogmatists, by politicians in whom people believe without thinking. They follow and are destroyed through their own ignorance. We must free the mind from fixed ideas and concepts. The mind must be empty of these things before we can understand the true. And it's a matter of emptying our minds of all the things that are false. We do not need to worry about getting there by this route or by that route, by this creed or by that dogma, for we are already there, but we do not know it. We do not create truth, We only create a concept of truth which is not truth. When we dissolve these away, truth is there to take its place. It is eternal and ever-present, and we live in that ever-present eternal truth. And this truth is everywhere, and its motive is love. How we could go on talking upon the motive of truth. Otherwise, the universe could not exist or stand complete without the motive of love. Therefore, the motion of God, that motion which is eternal, which is functioning through the intelligence, which is working through the whole of the universe, the motion is harmonious, a harmonious vibration known as love. Jesus said, love thy neighbor as thyself. That was the key to all security throughout the whole world, to love your neighbor as yourself. But let us look into our minds and see, do we love our neighbor? Do we criticize him? Do we hate him? Do we say despisable things about him? Do we say that he's a rogue, he's a vagabond, he's a cheat, he's all these sort of things? And never looking into our own minds to see what is hidden in our own souls? That we ourselves, although we do not perhaps perform these things, we are just as diabolically bad as our neighbor. And we're trying to excuse ourselves and to escape our own searchlight within ourselves by expressing what we think our neighbor is. But the Master said clearly and distinctly, and it is a very true one, take the plank out of your own eye, you hypocrite, and you will see how to take the splinter out of your brother's eye. I am saying these things clearly and distinctly for the simple reason that it is the basis of your security. To love your neighbor is not a virtue. It is virtually a law of protection. By our reactions to the external and our lack of understanding, we flounder in phenomena and cause our own misery through our ignorance of the power that is within us. Yet truth is waiting to manifest itself in all its glory and perfectness. This is our security. Truth is waiting to express itself. This is our security. How wonderful is the truth. Pay no attention to what you shall say. Heed not what you shall say, in other words. At that moment it shall be given unto you. When I came into this room tonight, I hadn't looked at this lecture since the third of the fourth 52. I was sitting in there, and I said, I haven't looked at my lecture tonight at all. But all that will be given unto me, just what to say when the time comes. I don't mind, but if I sat down and began to think what I would say about this lecture, I'd be creating in my own mind some idea about what I should say. But the words that come from my mouth are not my own. The Spirit alone has voice. And I am convinced of this fact. I have seen it in my last 40 years working among people. I have at that very moment, the very beginning, spoken to people just the same as I'm speaking to you, without any experience in talking, but just I believed, clearly and distinctly, that the Spirit alone had voice, and the word of the Spirit shall be given forth in the voice. If you then know within yourselves that this Spirit is Father, Mother, God, consciousness and intelligence, intelligence and knowing how, consciousness the directing power behind all things. The intelligence then is the active principle in your body, makes all the cells work, that brings together the atoms, forms your brain, your eyes, your senses, and the most delicate mechanism of your whole being. Here's an intelligence that is working through you continuously. This intelligence knows how. It is still working in your body and knowing how, and will continue to do so. Your consciousness then is a directing power. If you are consciously aware of an intelligence that knows how, that is faith. But faith and fear in the ordinary way, the ignorant person has a faith, and in that faith is fear. There is no knowing or understanding. Understanding faith is the realization of the truth, of an intelligence that knows how, and a consciousness that is aware of that knowing. When you are consciously aware of that knowing how, then I say, you have the power of a master. That is the master's power. Nature responds because the consciousness is the directing power. The consciousness of God must be in man. Otherwise, God could not be infinite. If man's consciousness was separated from God, then he could not be infinite, because there would be another consciousness entirely different to his own. Therefore, he could not be infinite in nature. If the intelligence, the mother, that father, mother, God, the knowing how, the wisdom in creation, if that was not working in man, then the infinite could not be infinite, because there'll be another intelligence apart and distinct from the infinite God, and that would be impossible. If that was so, then God could not be infinite. But as God's consciousness is one, and the mother, which is the infinite expression of that knowing how, active in every human being, the fundamental principles under humanity is the Spirit, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in man. And this is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. You have seen the Father, Mother, God in action, because the Spirit alone has voice, and the Spirit is speaking now. If you can actually see behind your own phenomena into that formless state of the Spirit, then you will know what is behind the voice and behind this form that you see before your eyes, the knowing how, the intelligence of God in action. As the consciousness becomes freed from the false, thought becomes purified. Therefore, thought, sound waves can create harmony and peace in and out of the body. Thought, sound waves can also create havoc through ignorance. Life is and is perfect. Like electricity, it flows into the form created by itself, manifesting its eternal presence. So life, consciousness, intelligence, and substance, without form, is perfect life. Life is God, and God is life. Therefore, cannot be divided, for there is nothing to divide it with. Life cannot be destroyed. There is nothing that can destroy life, just as there is no thing that can destroy electricity. Science has proved to us that matter as we know it is porous and not solid, that light, sound, and color pass through it. We only see these vibrations are caught up in matter, which is but a fraction of the scale of vibrations that exists. Thus, the atoms that make up matter are affected by the vibrations that pass into them, as we have already come to understand. What the physical eye sees is but a very small portion of the vibration of light and sound. What the physical eye sees is that in light from 450 trillion vibrations to 750 trillion vibrations per second. All above and below, these vibrations exist, but it is not visible to the physical eye. The physical ear hears a very small range of sound, from 30 to 32,000 vibrations per inch. So we see we have, right through the area, light which permeates the whole of the universe, from the very highest invisible sources to the very gross state underneath. Man's visible and conception of that light is about that much of the totality of all the light that flows through the universe. And his sound would be in a similar nature. But above and below, these vibrations go into infinity, down into the deeper stratas of what we call the ultra-red and ultra-violet and pure white we do not see. Yet these vibrations are working through us continuously. They are passing through our bodies. Some of those lights which are of very high vibration do not even touch the atoms. They pass through the atoms, so high are the vibrations of these lights. Yet it is motion. Light is motion. And the atom is motion. And the atom, having the nucleus of its own, with the electrons revolving round its center, it's a whirlpool or eddy in this ether. And it is these particular atoms that are flowing round its center, which becomes the outer, becomes the periphery of the atom, which makes a whirlpool or eddy in the invisible ether. The space between these electrons and the periphery of the atom are in exact accordance, relatively speaking, as the planets and the sun. Therefore, light of a high vibration in the penetrates right through the atoms, not even touching the electrons, not even interfering with the movement of the electron. It is only when we get a vibration of light, that is, if a similar vibration as that the atom, does it strike the atom and cause certain of these electrons to spring out and make further formations with other atoms in other directions, therefore causing transformation in the atomic structure of the body or in the form. And because you are body is created in accordance with your own consciousness in the body, so does your consciousness create electromagnetic waves exact accordance with the vibrations of your own structure, therefore causing electrons to flow from certain atoms into others, causing transformation to take place, and therefore you have a constructive or a destructive action in your body according to your thought. Next series, we'll be going more definitely into the most important scientific activities of how these things take place. As you will know, that this knowledge was known to the great, what we call the atomic philosophers of ancient times. Their knowledge of the atom and the electron are even more advanced than our scientists are today. And I can assure you this, what I will tell you, in a very short time during the next period, you will find that the scientists will eventually reveal the same thing in years to come through their own experiments. These instructions were given to me by the masters themselves, and I'm sure I could not give you this information if it was not necessary for you at this time. So we see science has proved to us that matter as we know it is porous and not solid, that light, sound, and color pass through it. We only see these vibrations that are caught up in matter, which is but a fraction of the scale of vibration that exists. Thus the atoms that make up matter are affected by the vibrations that pass into the atoms, as we have already come to understand. Therefore, our security lies in the great truth that the Master showed that love is the true creative power in the universe, a love beyond the physical, a love beyond the family circle, a love that is beyond beliefs, ideas. This love is deep and simple, and nothing can change it, for God is love. When we become love itself, that is our security, and nothing else can give us security. Love is beauty. It manifests when we dissolve all the false things that are hiding it. Heaven is my throne, says the Eternal. My footstool is the earth. Where would you build a house for me? Where would you rear me a home? Such buildings I have made myself already. They are my own, says the Eternal, Isaiah 66:1-2. That is you and me. These are the buildings he has made. These are his own buildings in which he lives. This is not only applied to you and me, but applies to every living being upon the earth. Then can you not see that the fundamental underlying human only is our security? No idea. No means of atomic change, no means of economic change, no means of these political changes and ideas, no means whereby nations group themselves together, jockeying for positions, so that they can be in a better position in the event of war. You think that we can have peace when we have two armed camps facing each other, neither knowing the underlying principles of human nature, only having a belief in the ideology or a system, and whichever system they think is best is going to bring them the most security. They shall fight to the death and destroy others in the doing so. And where is the security? There is none. Look back and see from time immemorial. The last few years, in fact, has there been any security during the war that was promised security? This is the final war and it will give the world security. Has there been any security one war after another? Is there not more insecurity? And will not more insecurity follow? Benediction. O eternal love, sweetness of thy perfume in the human heart is the perfume of perfumes. How can I seek anything less than the greatest when it is silently waiting to express itself without struggle? Yes, when my struggle and craving ceased, in my soul I found that which I had craved for. O ever enduring love, may thy perfume awaken the hearts of all to perceive the beauty of thy presence everywhere. O eternal love.